And we thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Damian Barling along with Jason Ross. This is the third and final hour of the Lowdown. Your Sacramento Kings, they play a basketball game tonight. Golden 1 Center against the Phoenix Suns. We've got game night coming up at 5:30. Jay Ross back with Kings Live at 6:30. And, of course, coverage of the game will begin at 7 o'clock. If you're getting out of the car here, don't want to miss the final hour, download the KHTK app in your app store, and you could go back, listen to the previous 2 hours. No, you don't want to miss anything. As a matter of fact, if you did not wake up with us on Monday and Friday, you can go to the on-demand section there, the Lowdown, and get caught up. Yeah. We don't want you to miss anything because, like, it wouldn't be weird going back and listen to a sports talk show like it was TiVo. There would be nothing dated about that.
Not at all.
At all.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Carson Wentz, torn ACL. Everyone knows that by now. Dolphins beat the Patriots. Again, the Dolphins beat the Patriots 27-20. Brady appeared to turn 40 right there at the beginning of kickoff. Time has passed him by. The Patriots made a horrible mistake trading Jimmy Garoppolo. It's all downhill. Belichick now probably going to lose Hall of Fame status. I mean, these are the hot takes that we're firing out here this morning. The Steelers are just going to annihilate the Patriots next week.
We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard to tell when I'm being sarcastic, but I heard some of the most ridiculous stuff ever. We tried to get to the bottom of the George Hill drama that is going on around the Sacramento Kings. I think we did a perfectly fine job of it, and you can't tell us otherwise. Hey, Jack, what's up, bro?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Great to hear from you.
I will actually include you in that gentleman for a change.
That is so charming, Jack. Thank you.
I got to chime in on Devin Hester. He's an alumni of my beloved U, but he's not a Hall of Famer, man. You said he's the best player at his position. His position was a wide receiver.
His position was a kick returner.
His primary position is a wide receiver who also returned kicks, just like Deion Sanders. He was a
I believe that is factually inaccurate. I think he was a primary kick returner who also was a wide receiver.
That is not what the NFL.com website states, my friend.
The NFL is full of crap.
I knew it.
See?
No, man. He was great at returning kicks. And you said Vinatieri, you know, he's going to get in because he's a kicker. That was his primary position. He was a kicker. That was it. Whereas Hester, they tried to put him in a receiver. They tried to find a way to keep him on the field for reasons other than returning kicks, and they just couldn't do it. He didn't have the receiving skill set. He's one of those many, many really good players that's not going to get in.
Jack, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you as always.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. Be well. We're going to get to winners and losers here of week 14 in just a heartbeat. 20 return touchdowns?
Total.
14 punt returns?
I mean, it's an important skill set.
Six total returns in one season.
But
he returned the opening kickoff of a Super Bowl to a touchdown. Teams had to plan against Devin Hester. Craig here on the text line, 44-11-40. No way on God's green earth is Hester a Hall of Famer. Really? That it sure feels like he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm just thinking of other examples. A guy like Tim Brown, who actually early in his career was a really good return man, has a couple of returns for scores, and that was a big part of what he did as a weapon. And it took him a long time to get in as a proven Hall of Fame-type receiver, too. And so he was doing two elements for a good portion of his early part of his career, and it still was hard for him to get in. So Hester, it's really pigeonholed into one thing. You can't really even look at anything as a receiver. It's all the return, but he's good at it, great at it.
And I felt like they made him a receiver. Like, he wasn't a receiver,
was
he?
No, his main thing was that. I mean, he was always another guy that could be a receiver, but his main thing was returning.
As a matter of fact, I got this pulled up here. He was actually a track star.
I believe that.
He earned national recognition as a kick returner. That's at the U. He was a kick returner. We could glorify this however we want to. He was a freaking kick returner. He's a Hall of Famer. No one's sniffed those numbers since. By the way, I didn't know Devin Hester was still in the league.
I know, when he was like announcing his retirement. Like, when was he still playing?
What? Yeah. What? Did, like, 5 years ago?
Right.
I don't know. But God bless Devin. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't know how you shun players because they're of their position. Oh, how it took forever for a kicker to get in. It took forever for a punter to get in or this to get. It's like, come on, man. This dude returned. Again, teams strategized against we're not kicking the ball to Devin Hester. There was speculation there at the start of the Super Bowl. Are the Colts going to kick the ball to Devin Hester? And they did. How'd it work out? They were down 7-0 before they knew what was happening. So, I mean, 20 total returns, 14 punt returns. It sure feels like that guy is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Again, Kings basketball coming your way at 7 o'clock. The Suns and the Kings. Lots of NFL stuff here to talk this hour since we weren't with you yesterday, at least not at this time. We'll do a little overreaction Tuesday, but one of our most enjoyable conversations. Winners and losers, week 14 of the NFL season. What stands out for you?
On my winners list, I have actually bunched this into one part, but the games on Sunday. We have complained a lot of the year about everything under the sun with football. Just different things, whether it's people talking about ratings, all that stuff. All the stuff. Well, why do we watch it? Because we like the games. And I think for a good portion of the year, Damien, the games honestly weren't very good. Mm-hmm. We had a good Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a really good weekend. Actually, let's go to Thursday. That game, Saints game, was great.
Yep.
There were games in the morning that, you know, the Panthers game was good. There was a few, but the afternoon and into the evening was spectacular. I mean, whether it's Seattle, Jacksonville, the Rams, Eagles game,
Steelers and Ravens.
That was great theater. So I just thought that is the best that football can give us. There's a lot of things we can find negative, but to get the drama, to have the competitive games, to have the games down to the wire, some overtime games. We had a good batch of games, actually, this week as a winner for me.
So I'm glad you said a good batch of games because I'm going to give a big L to the NFL this week for just about everything except for the games. Tom Savage was the latest reminder that concussion protocol is a joke. You have the ridiculousness of the Jacksonville Jaguar fans who apparently don't know how to win yet. You have the ridiculousness of the Seattle Seahawks, who have never learned how to lose properly. And you have the follow-up of the Gronk, Juju, and those two suspensions mm-hmm. and everything that came out of last Monday's game, where you're hoping you had to feel great if you're the NFL with the great batch of games and everything that was going on. And then you have the Tom Savage incident that's, oh, friendly reminder. Oh, wait a minute. Our potential likely leading candidate for the MVP, he's out too. Games, winners.
Yep.
League, losers. I had to put them on the loser list. Too many things went wrong.
Yeah.
With the concussion protocol and Carson Wentz's injury right at the top of the things.
Man, just hate that one.
Yeah, that's bad.
Another one of my winners, I labeled this one Mother Nature. I just love the snow game. I just thought it was fun. It's different. It's unique. We don't always get it. And it wasn't, like I said the other day, like a smattering. It was snowing. I mean, it was legit. It was thick. It was hard to see at the game. They played in it. It was different. It made the game look a little different, but it was fun. And especially for that game where I don't know how much I would have been into that game anyway, but it made it more interesting and more unique, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
It was fun, and I love watching players all run with the high step.
Yes.
Because you can't run normal through.
Peterman?
Peterman!
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a game for Mr. Peterman. So, yeah, I had the snow on my winners list as well. How about the Chargers?
Yeah, they have to be there.
Sorry, Raider fan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Chargers just continue. The Chargers right now look like that December group of Chargers led by Norv Turner way back when you every year, man, what is wrong with this Charger team? Why are they're so lackluster. They look like they don't care. They just look bored. December gets here. Oh, man, look at these Chargers. Oh, here they go again. They win four straight. They get into the playoffs. Suddenly they're playing in AFC championship games. Never got any further than that. But I don't know. If I'm an AFC team, I don't want to see the Chargers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm going to die a little bit. I can't figure out Baltimore, but they're doing something very right.
Yeah.
And I would give the Chargers the edge as to two underdog teams in the playoffs that I don't want to see if I'm a fan of the Steelers or the Patriots
right.
or the Jaguars. Or the Jaguars, that's cute fans of the Jaguars. Or whoever else.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't want to see either of those teams right now.
Yeah. Another one of my winners, I put it in our one small thought, but it's Larry Fitzgerald. What a career. And just, you know, then when you get the longevity, you kind of take a compare and contrast from two NFL stars over the last 2 weeks. Eli has to see a streak go away 2 weeks ago, which was just, I don't know, it's a streak, but it just was silly that it had to happen the way it did. And then here's Larry Fitzgerald in a year where they're likely not going to make the playoffs. They did surprise the Titans this week, but for him to surpass and move up the ladder past Randy Moss, he's now third all time. He may catch T.O. He won't get to Jerry Rice, but still he is doing some historically great things. Seems like an all-around great person, and he's done it in one spot. I think those things are really cool.
Wordplay official chiming in here on the text line at 44-1140. The Chargers are doing great on offense. Guess who their coach is? I'll let that one sink in there for a little bit for some of you. Still sinking? It's Musgrave.
With the Chargers?
Isn't he
the
assistant?
No, he was with the Broncos.
See the Broncos? I thought he was the assistant for the Chargers.
Mm-mm. Do I have it wrong?
Who calls the play for the Chargers? Chris, who calls plays for the Chargers?
Anthony Lynn's the coach, but who's calling the plays? Yeah, because I thought when they played the Broncos a couple weeks ago, remember it was the Raiders were changing coordinators. The Broncos had just changed coordinators back to Musgrave, their former coordinator.
This just in, the Raiders have changed coordinators again.
Yeah.
They do this pretty regularly. This is a great pull here from the Devin Hester conversation. Definitely Hall of Famer for special team play. Devin Hester is the reason for the classic Denny Green rant.
Is that when it came from?
We are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
Or they are yeah. who we or what you want to crown them, crown their ass.
Yeah.
That was against that Chicago Bear
okay.
team. They were kicking the crap out of the Chicago Bears.
And then melted.
Then the Bears
yeah.
are poop. We thought they were.
Yeah.
I'll go. Let me go losers here.
Yeah.
Can I tie a couple together? Deshaun Kizer's throw in overtime. I watched it four different times just to count the number of defenders that were there.
Did it make any more sense the more times you watched
there
it?
There were five Green Bay Packers there. I don't know. I don't know if anyone has asked him. What were you doing?
Right.
Who were better question that almost comes across as disrespectful. Like, what were you doing? Like, you can't ask it. What did you see? Like, when you pointed and did all the big pirouette.
What could you possibly have seen?
What did you see
yeah.
other than three Packers with what ultimately wound up by the time the ball got there, five Packers being there? Almost half of the Packers' defense was where he threw the ball.
Yeah.
That's a big L for Deshaun Kizer.
Someone else was probably open. Probably.
You would think if there
Maybe.
Were
numbers.
If there were five guys. Yeah, I don't know. Again, our show does not specialize in math.
Nope.
Can I tie LeBron James' tweets
okay.
into a – I don't know if LeBron James' tweets were a winner or a loser, but either way it was funny because – as the Browns were leading through the bulk of that game, if you weren't paying attention.
Oh, for sure. They had it.
The Browns had that. That was their win, and that was the end of the Green Bay Packers. You could question whether this season, you could question whether Aaron Rodgers was going to play this year. All sorts of questions were forming there in that fourth quarter. And LeBron puts out that tweet, come on, guys, one more, man, we got this. And then shortly after comes the facepalm emoji. And then shortly after that comes a tweet that just says, God damn.
He didn't do the fist with mood again.
No Arthur fist okay. there. Just the combination of the two tweets. Come on, Browns, one more, we got this. And then the face palm emoji there shortly thereafter. I don't know if that's a winner or a loser, but it made me laugh. It was social media fun on
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, I have the Browns too on my loser list just because of how close they were. They've been close a couple times, and I know there's some people say that. What does it matter if they get one win? Nobody wants zero. Nobody wants zero. And if they got one, it's not like it's going to lead to a bunch. They're still going to have the top pick. I just, for their sake, you were hoping they would get one victory, even if it was whatever team's expense. But, man, they missed an incredible opportunity.
Did you get who calls plays for the Chargers yet?
Ken Wisenhunt.
Really?
Yeah. Ken Wisenhunt.
Wow. I thought he was long out of – I thought he didn't seem to mesh well with his players. I guess when you're a coordinator,
yeah.
Maybe you don't have to.
A little different meshing.
Man, talk about a hot coach that got really, really hot.
Yeah.
And it was
fizzled.
And then really, really cold.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the thing. Was he the coach of the Cards when they were in the Super Bowl? Was that Wisenhunt?
Gosh.
Because he was the Steelers offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah. And then didn't he go to, wasn't he with the Titans?
He was with the Titans. That's right.
And I think Arizona, like, was he there too? Yeah.
We think too much on the air.
This is
like most.
Sometimes you could just get
what
that.
What good
and go.
Radio shows do is they think of something and then research it.
Yeah.
We just have like conversations like, wasn't that the guy?
Yeah.
I feel like he was the coach of that team, but he was like the hottest offensive mind in the world.
He was.
Disintegrated awfully, awfully quickly.
Yeah. You're right. He was the head coach.
He was the head coach of that Chargers, of that Cardinals team.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, what do I know? Nick Foles, winner?
Well, why?
He won the game.
Okay.
He's going to get a chance.
That list could be – he could be moving up and down that list.
He's going to get a chance to quarterback top to bottom one of the best teams in the NFL. It's kind of a, hey, don't screw it up situation, which is – that's never a good situation to put your quarterback in, but – I'm gonna put him on the he got the win against the Rams.
Yeah,
this I think the conversation is we're mourning Carson Wentz's loss. I think the collective NFL world is mourning Carson Wentz's loss. But if they go on to also lose that game, the Philadelphia,
we're done.
Give me a break. Philadelphia Eagles are a wrap.
What if we like to play the what if game? I've already under the assumption that they're not going to do very well with Nick Foles. But what if they go the other way and it's great? And he win a Super Bowl with him.
Cool. Carson Wentz is still your quarterback next year, if that's what you're hinting at.
I am.
No, Carson Wentz is your quarterback. You're 11-2 because of Carson Wentz.
What if you're, I don't know, let's see.
What would it be,
6-0 with a Super Bowl and beating, like, you know, Saints, Rams, Vikings, whoever it is, Falcons, Aaron Rodgers, somewhere along the line, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, whoever.
Yep.
Carson, see, Nick?
Carson Wentz is your quarterback.
I mean, I think it is the answer too, but, you know.
Again, Nick Foles is given a keys to a Rolls Royce he didn't buy.
Yeah.
Don't crash it.
Okay.
That's it. And if you make
it. What if he looks really good in that car? Drives it fast, doesn't get caught by the po-po.
Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz's car.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't even know what the hell that analogy was supposed to mean. But Carson Wentz is the guy, regardless of what Nick Foles does.
Please return to Carson Wentz when done. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a rent-a-car player from Carson Wentz Enterprises. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Do you have any more?
Yeah, I have. You know, we've talked about him before. They had a horrible weekend, and it's kind of getting lost because the game didn't matter. I think Marvin Lewis. I mean, at some point, they have had so much faith in him. But this was a weekend where they're out of it, but they were at home. They looked disinterested. They looked like they were out of it, looked like they weren't playing for him. Mm-hmm. And at some point, his time will run out. And I didn't think Marvin Lewis or the Bengals obviously didn't have a good weekend at all.
Yeah, and their next 3 weeks will be pretty interesting. How about the New York Jets? The Jets had 100 yards on Sunday. Now, not 100 passing yards, not 100 rushing yards, not a player with 100 yards. The team had a total offense of 100 yards, the worst offensive output by any team since 2010. They got beat by a team that had lost 8 straight games. And they lost their 59-year-old quarterback who had been he wasn't the bright spot. Like, we all thought this was going to be a joke, right? We had them pushing the 0-16 mark or the 1-15 mark. But they've lost Josh McCown. They gave up 23 points to the Denver Broncos. They were an absolute mess. The New York Jets should have been on this list a lot more than they were this year. But what a really bad performance by them on Sunday.
Yeah.
Winners, losers anymore? We got to put Garoppolo on here, don't we?
Oh, well, he's Jimmy G.
I believe Kyle called him the human Instagram filter. Yeah. I think he should just be called the perfect human right now.
He's up there for sure. How about the Titans on the loser list? That was a bad loss to Arizona to me.
Yeah.
Because that's a game that they could have just – they're still in the playoff picture, but they I don't get what they are either. I think they're better than some of these teams that we're questioning, but they just never blow you away.
Jacksonville's defense. We mentioned Jacksonville's fans. Jacksonville's defense, I thought, was going to be an entirely different sort of conversation this week because it looked like Seattle was going to lead. And I don't know that the conversation really would have been about Jacksonville's defense as much as it would have been about how great Russell Wilson continues to be this year in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But in the face of all that, in the face of all that Russell Wilson has done this year in the fourth quarter and all that Seattle Seahawks teams has done this year in the fourth quarter, Jacksonville needed one last stand when the walls were closing in on them, and they were able to get it. And that defense deserves a lot of credit.
Absolutely.
That defense deserves a lot of credit. And unfortunately, their quarterback is still Blake Bortles. And when we talk about Super Bowl, when we talk about making waves in the playoffs and teams competing with the likes of the Patriots and the Steelers, I go to Jacksonville and I look like, man, that is pushing a historically good defense.
Yeah.
But their quarterback play.
That's where you lose the faith in them, right?
It's like, you got Leonard Fournette and you got that defense.
Yeah.
At some point, really, with coaches like Tomlin, with coaches like Belichick, they're going to know how to beat you. They're going to know how to shut down Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
And you're asking your defense to do way too much against teams like that.
Yeah, they've got the elements to be there, right? The great run game, the impressive defense. It's the quarterback play that you're concerned about. You know, something I was going to ask yesterday when we were talking about Philly completing the worst to first, and it's happened a lot. If you looked at it today, so if I give you the last place teams, I don't know if they'll finish here, but Jets, Browns, Colts, Broncos.
No. No.
Giants, Bears, Buccaneers, 49ers. It should happen with one of the eight, right? Not should. It could.
It is a scientific fact, God's law. I think it's in the Bible that you can't repeat as NFC East champions.
New Testament, yeah.
So, yeah, that's right. It was in the boring part of the really boring part of the New Testament there. It's in there, though, if you look hard enough. Thou shalt not repeat as NFC East champions. So, but it feels like they're going through a whole lot of change. Man, I'm going to sound like such a klutz, but there's one team that's standing out to me.
Of the list?
Yeah.
Are you saying 49ers?
Yeah.
Wow.
I am.
Well, Rams did it, right? Or they could do it.
Right.
We don't know about Seattle, Arizona. Yeah, who knows?
The Bears were the other team I was thinking of because I gave you the reasons why I liked them earlier. We need to see Mitchell Trubisky do a lot more. And again, but much like the Giants, they're going to go through changes, right? Like, at least we think they are. I don't think John Fox is going to be back there, but maybe we're all wrong in that sense. It feels like the answer to that, if there's one, and what was the stat we gave yesterday, 14 out of 15 of the last 14 times out of the last 15 years? Yeah, it might be the 49ers.
Colts? Mm-hmm. Just because of the division? No?
Tampa? Because I feel like Jacksonville, no, I'm not doing that again. Yeah. I'm not falling for that again. I feel like Jacksonville is on the upswing, and I think they're going to address the quarterback position this year. That's a great lead into overreactions. That's in fact, that's where we'll start with overreactions next here on Sports 1140. Well, there's overreactions. I think there's unintentional overreactions coming in here on the text line at 441140, which we love. Share yours. Text line 441140. Phone lines 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I feel like I'm all over the place today.
Yeah?
Like clunky. Like, we had so much stuff to fit in. It's weird. It's our first day back at 12. We were talking this morning like, yeah, this would be the last hour of our show.
I know.
Like, if we were like, it's I had a meeting before the show. It's like it all feels clunky. I don't feel smooth. I can't read anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm getting in arguments about Devin Hester. Like, what is happening?
And I was thinking, you know, can you confirm that you had, like, the perfect nap yesterday?
I did. Absolutely. This is 100% factual.
The 90-minute sleep cycle?
I had, following our show in the morning, I had the perfect Garrett Temple REM cycle sleep.
Which is what, 90-minute chunk. So it could be 90, it could be 3 hours if you wanted to go that far.
Increments of 90 minutes. And I was sure was going for that 3 hours. But no, I got a good, if it wasn't 90 exactly, it was between 90 and 100.
But you felt great.
Oh, I felt amazing when I woke up. I was like, hey.
Perfect.
What's, oh, yeah. Because I never, when I go to sleep during the day, I don't like really do it on purpose. I'm like lying on the couch and I like doze off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just.
And was that 2 minutes or 30?
Right. It's kind of like, oh, I'm falling asleep. The TV's on. Yesterday, got home, took the girls out for their walk, came back, and I crawled into bed.
Oh, you were serious.
And I was going to, I was going to go watch this R&B singer at Ace of Spades last night. So I knew I needed to get some sleep, needed to get some work on the show done. And yet, dude, I crawled into bed, and it was Garrett.
Night.
I was so happy. I wanted to text Garrett when I woke up. I thought it would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
But I just, bro, I got the best 90 minutes of sleep.
Perfect.
Just a moment ago.
Science.
It's
he
real, folks.
It. Yeah.
It's real. If you can sleep in increments of not, everybody should get a 90 minute nap in the middle of the day.
Did you always do that when you did mornings full time? I mean, like
nope.
You did mornings for you didn't
nope.
nap.
Nope.
Because I know something like Pat and Tom have done it for years. Some of that. I mean. You know,
no. When I did the mornings, I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
And I used to not. I would usually crash like on a Thursday, where like Thursday at like 12 or 1, I'd be done for and would sleep for like 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
And then you know would sleep fine that night.
Yeah.
And then go from there. But at KSFM, I was like working. I was working at nightclubs on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and some Sundays. That's how I made money.
You just weren't sleeping.
Yeah, I thought I was the coolest thing in the world when I got a morning show host because like this is a big deal. And this was in 2002 when there was still money in radio. And I went in and I talked to Byron Kennedy, who used to be he was my program director there, and the guy who you know really believed in me for whatever reason, tried to negotiate my contract with him. I was like, okay, this is how much I want. And I think I said like $80,000. He was like, the job pays $35,000. That's what you can have, or I'll find someone else to do it. And I had no rating. I had nothing to back me up other than the fact that he thought I was really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but I promise you, you'll make a lot of money doing other stuff. And I have the exact number somewhere, but I was working so hard that first year. It was my salary was $35,000, and I was
but
so
you were doing the other things
that.
Is where you were making
I made
money.
$36,000 doing those nightclub appearances. Which is miserable. It's no way to live. In the second year, I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't do that.
You're
again.
Working too much. Yeah,
I can't do the Thursday night and the Saturday night and Sunday. Like, I can't do that again. And I wasn't napping a lot. Like, I want to nap every day now.
Yeah,
every day. I would prefer to nap. And I think everybody should be entitled to naps for 90 minutes every day.
Just be more productive.
Stop time for 90 minutes and get a good level of sleep. And I do not think that is an overreaction.
Okay. I like it.
This might be, though. The 49ers are an offensive line away from winning a Super Bowl.
If there was a more to the – is the sentence end there?
That's the end of the sentence.
That's
not only is that the end of the sentence, there's 3 exclamation points
Oh,
there.
Then they were serious.
Yeah, they meant that. They absolutely meant that.
Well, can they have the Cowboys offensive line or a Hall of Fame-esque offensive line? Then maybe, but it's still an overreaction.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good offensive lines, or not a lot. There's Minnesota's, I think, is really good. Because we're focused on how bad their I think Jacksonville's offensive line has been really good as well.
Well, the Raiders was supposed to be good.
Well, yeah, but the fact that you had to put supposed to be in front. When we look back on this season, are we going to scratch our head more looking at the Giants' defense or the Raiders' offensive line? Because these are two teams that were talked about being played late in the postseason. And here we are like, the Raiders are fighting for, the Raiders are just thankful that their division has become a disaster right now.
Yeah, that's why they're in it.
And the Chargers aren't a disaster, but you're thankful for their disastrous start.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City's disastrous finish here. But other than that, that's why they're in the conference. They're still does anyone think the Raiders are good?
Not me.
Yeah.
At one point, I thought they would be good or had a chance to be, based off of last season, maybe a worse record, but more complete of a team. I thought the holes were there last year. Now they look like the holes are still there and maybe even more have developed, which is a problem.
Yeah. Is Marquise Goodwin a stud wide receiver? Is that an overreaction? If I said that right now definitively, Goodwin's a stud receiver. He's going to be a top 10 receiver next year.
I think it's an overreaction, but he's a great deep threat. He's really fast. So I think he's going to make big plays, but I don't see him as a volume, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 catches, 100 catches on a year, 1,000 yards. I think he's going to make a lot of big plays, though.
Isn't that the most, like, strange way that you have to talk about a receiver? He's a great deep threat.
Yeah.
But, damn it, when he goes 8 yards.
Well, he's just so fast. I think that's what makes him unique. But, I mean, are they going to make him a slot receiver or a guy that they throw over the middle all the time? Like, Antonio Brown's both. He literally can take a short pass and make it a big play or just make it a short pass and get a first down. But certainly he's a deep threat, and they throw a ton of targets to him, and he catches everything. I just don't know that Goodwin is – I don't think he's that guy.
But he has a quarterback who can get him the ball now.
Sure does.
Jimmy Garoppolo is the future of the 49ers.
Not an overreaction.
Jimmy Garoppolo is the future of the 49ers and the future of the NFL.
Overreaction.
The Vikings are done after their loss to the Panthers.
Overreaction.
The Eagles are done after their loss of Carson Wentz.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I don't.
So when we, like, in the sense of we're talking now Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? So let me go back one. Do you think the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender?
No. I don't. But
Who does? I would like to meet the person who does. Because I want
besides
to know
a
why.
Fan. Yeah, I mean, like, but just, someone that can really – they've played well enough to be one. I just – in the end, I don't see them doing it. I just can't pick them.
And you know what? If I'm a Vikings fan or someone who does believe in the Vikings, what I would ask me is, well, why not?
Right. True.
And all I would be was, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
But when you look at the metrics, we just mentioned their offensive line. How great Case Keenum has played this year, and Case Keenum has played great this year. When you look at the fact all the players that they've lost, when you look at how their defense is done, they're a great football team. They're legit Super Bowl contender. I think it's just, well, it's the Vikings, and on the other side, you look like it's the Jaguars.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what you want me to buy into that right now? This team was 5-0 last year, and I think they end up winning what, like, 7 or 8 games on the season.
Yeah, I guess my issue has always been I probably put too much value in quarterbacks. I know it's the most important position.
But I don't think there's a such thing.
Okay, so then if that's the case, in the end, if it's Nick Foles in a game against Russell Wilson, if it's Case Keenum in a game against Drew Brees, I'm going to pick the other team.
Right. That's
when I don't think there's a large separation in overall talent, but I think there's a gap in the quarterback play.
One more here, and We got one more NFL thing here to end with. How about this one on the text line, 44-11-40. Antonio Brown is a league MVP.
I don't think it's an overreaction. He should be on the list. He really should be.
You got 4 minutes to put together your top 4 MVP candidates.
Okay.
We got that, plus why the NFL doesn't care about you or its players or really anything next. Oh, there's some MVP candidates coming in here on the text line.
What they got?
Good job. 44-11-40. Le'Veon Bell. How about Rivers, Brady, Breeze, Goff, Big Ben, Russell Wilson? If the Vikings had Dalvin Cook, they would be Super Bowl contenders. That's interesting
that
because the Vikings don't have Dalvin Cook, and they still are Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
The team's lost 3 games. It's week 15 kicks off this week, guys, and they've lost 3 games. They are Super Bowl contenders. There was a great text here that caught my attention. Vikings in the Super Bowl. Boring. And I thought, man, maybe they're right. Maybe that's part of the problem. We're not excited by the Vikings.
No, that's true. That's true. They don't get the same kind of buzz that some of these other teams do.
So they don't get the same level of respect.
Right.
Because we're not entertained by them.
Are you not entertained?
That's where I was going. That's what I was thinking. Top 4 MVP candidates right now. Jason Ross.
I have no particular order.
And to be clear, you've completely removed Carson Wentz from the conversation.
Well, actually, I have him still here.
Okay.
So the 4 I put was I still have Wentz, Antonio Brown, Brady, and Wilson. And I'm sure I'm missing, but those I feel like at this moment.
Top 4 vote getters right there.
I feel like it. Am I missing somebody that needs to be in that group?
No.
I think Rivers is close. And that's probably going to depend on the last 3 games. Now, again, I said halfway, I felt it was Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. No, not anymore. So things can change. The last 3 weeks are
important.
They are. But okay. I think you also have to have a little bit of momentum. I think you have to have been, like, I don't think someone could come out of nowhere at this moment. But who else could jump up there, you know?
Is there a particular reason Case Keenum isn't in the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, statistically, maybe not quite there with other quarterbacks. Missed the, what, just it was only a couple games at the beginning, but they won. I mean, he's checking a few of the things you would want off the checklist.
Was that the first game he's lost this season?
That he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think they were three.
He doesn't have that eye-popping, other than the Vikings record.
Right. That helps, but
he doesn't have Brady numbers. He doesn't have Big Ben numbers. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is, I feel like, I don't know what, it just seems like we've ignored the Steelers.
Right, and they might be in a case, because someone suggested Le'Veon Bell, where the three offensive weapons could cancel each other out, in a sense that how do you separate Brown from Bell, Bell from Ben, you know, vice versa, all those guys.
What about, this is a interesting one, what about Cam?
I don't, well, then you compare him to MVP year.
Let's say he had, oh. Wow,
and I don't feel like he's done that. Because early on, I felt like they were winning, but not, he wasn't hurting him, but he wasn't, he wasn't amazing.
But are you doing that with Brady too?
Brady's been pretty good, right?
Yeah, but.
If we're comparing him to other years, you mean?
To his MVP years, because that's what you just said with Cam, right? You're comparing it to, I mean, that year he had as the MVP was pretty extraordinary. But here we are, you know, again, Panthers getting very little, you know, conversation, at least from us. They just beat the Vikings this week. And they're in that brutal freaking division.
Yeah. I mean, we also do this before. It's funny we can say it about, let's say Aaron Rodgers comes back. They win the last three. I don't know what his personal record would be, but they'd get to 10-6. They lost more of the games without him. We know his value, but it wouldn't be him.
And people always ask, man, why do you have MVP conversations 3 weeks in and 6 weeks in and 9 weeks in and 12 weeks in? It's to go back and look how much it's
absolutely
changed. You go back. Alex Smith is on no one's ballots right now.
Nope.
No one.
But I think he was the leader. I think Wentz was up there then too, but it was Smith. It was Alex Smith early on, certainly 3 and 6 weeks in.
Antonio Brown should be MVP. His numbers, plus he's the linear champion on the Steelers? Really? Can we confirm that? Are the Steelers the current reigning linear champions of the NFL? Yeah. They beat the Ravens? The Ravens were the champions?
No, they got it from Kansas City. This is a short ride. Oh, here's our linear championship. New England, Thursday night opener. Kansas City wins. Goes to 5-0. First loss, Pittsburgh. Steelers have had it since.
Wow, the Steelers are dominating.
Yeah.
The linear championship.
They've nearly lost it to the Colts, to the Bengals, to the Ravens. They still have it.
Nearly doesn't count.
Yep.
They are the champions.
Well done, Texter.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Bravo. You have a better memory than I do. Because you did that on the air one day, I remember.
It was quick work.
And you did the worst one was the college title.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
The college title's not going to be defended forever.
I think that one went from Clemson to Syracuse. To Miami, you had it. Pitt beat them in the last game. They're not in a bowl game. It's over.
I'm it's
over. Pitt's our champs. Nah, I don't like that.
They've destroyed the linear championship. Pacers will defend.
Oh, it's alive there.
I don't know if the Pacers know this, but they will defend the prestigious linear championship against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The
struggling Thunder.
Struggling is not even. They're the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh,
Oklahoma City Thunder. Hey, Wade, what's happening, man?
Wade.
Wade on his car phone. Wade on his car phone. Hey, Wade. Nope. All right. Well, you be good, Wade. We appreciate you calling, man. I think I'm hitting this button too many times. I don't know how to work these phones, for goodness sakes. I'm not having a good day back here.
Oh, he's
what?
Ready?
Are you?
Wade's back.
Oh, it's Ray. Well, no wonder. It's Ray. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. Hey. I'm trying to find a way to make the linear champions the Kings with this last conversation, but I just wanted to say, man, we're lucky to have this young crew right now, and at least it's fun to watch the Desire. And the reason I called in, either one of you guys get a chance to watch the Pelicans-Rockets game last night?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, biggest disappointment, and you don't even think about it now that he's gone, but, you know, right when the Rockets took the lead in that game, I think there was 2 minutes left. And Boogie goes down, and he thinks he gets fouled. and he stands there doing the thing that we saw hundreds of times this season, where he stands there for 3 or 4 seconds waving his arms at the ref, and sure enough, on that counter break, instead of him getting back, the Rockets hit another three basically to seal the game, and it was just, it was a reminder, like, I love the effort he gave here, but it was such a reminder of what we don't see now, because I was looking at that going, man, his hustle back, maybe he gives them a chance to win the game, but he did the same old thing. He clearly had not learned from previous experiences, but I don't know if you guys noticed that, but it stuck out to me in a big way last night.
Ray, we appreciate you, buddy. I will say this. The Pelicans were plus 25 there. DeMarcus Cousins was plus 25 there at a point there in the third quarter. And then Chris Paul just made a fool of him and Alvin Gentry in the fourth quarter. I don't think I'll ever stop being fascinated by Kings fans and DeMarcus Cousins.
One way or the other?
Yeah. Like, there, you see what he did, 40-24-4, it could be here, and then you have guys like that. Like, there's, it's like, and we're appreciative to everyone who calls, because obviously you're listening, and that means the world to us, and when you interact, that means even more of the world to us. But why did Ray feel compelled to call and talk about DeMarcus Cousins? Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything about James Harden, 14 assists in the first half. He didn't say anything about the Rockets being undefeated with Chris Paul in the lineup. He wanted to talk about DeMarcus and his demonstrative behavior.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes, depending on what side of the fence you're on, you recite the things that are yelled at you by various people that you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, the relationship, I don't know when it'll ever change. We're approaching a year. It'll be a year in February.
True.
And I still find it to be incredibly fascinating.
Yeah, I think it probably won't change for a while until either the Kings course changes for the better and they're winning and it doesn't matter anymore, or his path takes him to a spot he hasn't been. Like, if he's in a playoff series and Kings fans have to watch it, I think then it'll still be talked about, and then maybe finally at that point it's then done.
I think the split on the way that, you know, because people felt this way when the deal was done. Some loved it, some hated it, some were still mad about it. I see posts about DeMarcus Cousins on our different social media accounts every single day.
Yeah.
It's such a strange dynamic. I don't think, because he's really good.
Absolutely.
No matter how you feel about him, he's freaking great.
Yeah.
And Kings fans will always know that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't stop staring at your hot ex-girlfriend.
Right.
You just
But
can't.
Does he make teams better? I think it's always been the question. And now he's with another proven all-star, and Jrue Holiday's actually been an all-star once, but
and he was phenomenal.
He had a great stat line.
The Pelicans as a team without Anthony Davis played really well last night. I want to mention this before we leave, because I've kind of said throughout the day that the NFL doesn't care about you. They don't care about what happened to Tom Savage. They don't care about their players. And I firmly believe that. And the reason that I believe that is they just signed a deal with Verizon for Verizon to air all of their games for $2.5 billion.
Man.
Bitch, cry, moan, write about, talk about ratings all you want to. The NFL is laughing in your face because they're seeing the way to watch football games now is on your phone, on your iPad, on your computer, streaming, watching with multiple screens. That's the approach they're taking, and they just got $2.5 billion to take that approach.
It's B.
That's a B?
B. Billion. Wow.
That's more than $2.5 million.
Yeah.
And that's just
money.
A smidge bit more than what Greg Schiano might get from Tess. Just a little bit. Thank you so much for being with us. Sam Amick will be with us tomorrow. We'll talk about the Kings and the Suns all tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of The Lowdown. Thanks for being with us.